This is HPR episode 2794 entitled, Interview with Martin Wimpress, and is part of the series, Interviews. It is hosted by Anik, and is about 40 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, in this episode, Anik talks with Martin Wimpress about the Ubuntu Mate project.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Yannick, I'm the French guy from Switzerland. And in this episode, we're going to talk about Ubuntu Mate and Ubuntu Mate for the Raspberry Pi with Martin Wimpress. Let's go. Ubuntu Mate. Two words which, taken separately, refer to great products. On one side, Ubuntu, one of the most popular, if not the most popular, Linux distribution. On the other side, the Mate desktop environment, also a very popular product. One person took those two elements and combined them together to make Ubuntu Mate. That person is Martin Wimpress, and he's joining me tonight for this episode. Good evening, Martin. How are you?
Good evening, Yannick. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm a bit stressed because I first interview in English, but this is going to be great.
It's better that it's in English than French, I think.
I suggest maybe you could introduce yourself to the three person on the internet who don't know you already.
Sure. So, yes, you now know my name. I started the Ubuntu Mate project about 5 years ago. And since then, I was hired by Canonical. So I joined the Ubuntu desktop team. I worked on the Ubuntu desktop team for a while and have subsequently joined the Snapcraft team at Canonical. So those are sort of my passion projects, being Ubuntu Mate. That's not something I work on at work. It's still my part-time hobby project. And then at work, I work on Ubuntu and Snapcraft.
I believe you contributed to other open source projects too?
Yes, over the years, I've been involved in lots of different projects. So one of the early distributions that I was involved in was Crux Linux. I was a package maintainer there. And then more recently, I was involved in the Ubuntu community for many years on the sort of, you know, the periphery, not sort of, you know, a core contributor or anything, but, you know, fiddling around with things and doing my bit. And then I moved away from Ubuntu and I was involved in Arch Linux for several years. And it was during that time that I got involved in the Mate desktop. And I've been involved in that project for about 5 or 6 years now. And then when sort of Ubuntu Mate started to become a thing, I then focused back around, obviously, the Ubuntu community and more so Debian. So I do a lot of the package maintaining for Mate and Debian as well now. And then there are all sorts of drive-by commits that, you know, I've had my hand in, you know, various projects that have interested me over the years.
Yeah, you're a very busy man. And you forgot also that you're a host of the Ubuntu podcast.
Yes, yeah, we're on our season break at the moment, so it's a little bit at the back of my mind. We just had our first ever listener feedback listener meetup last weekend. There's a rumor going around that the Ubuntu podcast may well be back for a 12th season soon.
Yay! I absolutely love your podcast.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Right. Let's talk about Ubuntu Mate because it's the subject for this episode. What made you want to start Ubuntu Mate? I mean, can't people just take Ubuntu and snap Mate on top of that and there we go?
If only it was that easy. So, as I said, I was involved in the Arch Linux community, and was maintaining packages for Mate Desktop in Arch Linux, and in fact took the packages from the original Mate founder within Arch and tidied them up and got them in a supportable state. And I was doing that because my family were running at that time Arch Linux and Mate. And the reason for that is a long story, but basically my close family members who I'd moved to Linux some years previous were quite happy with the GNOME 2 desktop paradigm, really didn't want to change to the contemporary systems that we were seeing with Unity at the time and GNOME 3. So I moved them onto Mate because I'd heard about this project, and that was sort of how I got involved in Mate, because I was getting my family to run it and I needed to improve some packages and what have you. But the reason that Ubuntu Mate came about is because I was interviewed on the Ubuntu podcast before I was a host about Mate. Following that, Alan Pope created the first ever Ubuntu Mate spin. And he did precisely what you said. He took Ubuntu and remastered the ISO by sort of yanking out Unity and grafting Mate on top of it, and sent me a link to this ISO in an email. Just, I think the subject was just ha, and a link to the ISO. And that very first version was called Matey, I seem to remember. And that sort of got my interest, because my family weren't really jiving with Arch Linux. That's a difficult thing to support for people that are not like super Linux literate from afar. So that really wasn't working out. And I was thinking, yeah, they'd used Ubuntu previously, and Ubuntu with Mate might be a thing for them. So I met Alan for the first time in years in his kitchen. We both took the day off work, and I went over to his house, and we had a one-day sprint at his house where we basically came up with the objectives of what Ubuntu Mate would be and how we'd bootstrap this thing. And then at one point in the conversation, he said, somebody, and that would be you, needs to, you know, drive this. And that was where it all started.
Right. Okay, I knew the part about the kitchen, but the whole story is really interesting, because I always wondered why someone would start a project like that, and starting that for your family is a really good reason, I think.
Yes.
How difficult was that when the project got started after you met with Alan? How difficult and time consuming was it to manage such a project like that?
The initial bootstrapping was probably one of the busiest periods in Ubuntu Mate's history, and certainly the point at which there were most people involved. When you start a new flavor of Ubuntu, lots of people flock around it and help you stand it up very quickly. So there was loads of people providing fixes for themes, custom themes, Plymouth splash screens and all of that, and that was all wonderful. But because it wasn't an official project and I was trying to build it as close to how the Ubuntu infrastructure would, I had to sort of recreate, you know, all of that live build stuff, and that was a massive waste of time because I was having to figure that out and tickle that along, and it really only served a purpose of proving that I could make this thing. And once we did become an official project, we were able to just throw all that away, because we then get all of that infrastructure for free. So the first sort of 6 to 9 months was a bit torturous, because actually defining what packages create Ubuntu Mate was relatively easy. Getting it in as an official project was a bit more demanding, because you have to demonstrate that you are capable of maintaining the packages that you want to own within Debian and Ubuntu. So I actually flew out to Germany. I was sponsored to fly out to Germany to meet the Debian developer who maintained Mate. And over the course of that weekend, we figured out how we would be able to do the Mate packaging between us so that it suited Debian's needs and Ubuntu Mate's needs. And that was great, because I really felt like I'd got a purpose then. And it was the first time in a long time I'd felt really involved in a project, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. And creating those initial versions was fine. You know, if all you want to do is stick a desktop on top of Ubuntu and you know how the bits fit together, it's quite easy. What gets more difficult if you decide you have a vision for how things should be, and you start creating bespoke tools and software, and then you get into protracted software development projects.
Yeah, it sounds. I had no idea that you had to basically build everything yourself. Then, did you have a farm of computers, or how did you do that?
So the tools exist. There are a number of tools that you can use to build an ISO image as though the Ubuntu infrastructure created it. And Live Build is a central component of that. And how I actually did it was I used ephemeral instances on DigitalOcean, and I would just fire up a DigitalOcean droplet and fire my build job at it, and it would spit out an ISO, which I'd download and then destroy the instance. And I think I had one of these $10 credit things, and I managed to make that last for 3 months by just firing up these things long enough to, you know, churn out an ISO and deposit it somewhere and then kill themselves.
So you were saying that you had a lot of help in the beginning of the project.
Yes.
How long did it take for a community to form around the Ubuntu Mate? And by that I mean not only the people who help you in the beginning, but people who are really involved, who start creating pull requests and stay in the team.
Yeah. So actually, the initial community sort of stood itself up around Ubuntu Mate quite organically. You know, I created things like a Google Plus community group and a Twitter account, and we had IRC channels. And in the early days, pretty much all of the community engagement was in the Google Plus community group and on IRC. And there was lots of interest because it was a new flavor and there were loads of people involved, and it was really vibrant. And then after about 6 months, I was repeatedly seeing within the community that there were some people that weren't choosing not to engage because they didn't want to be on one of the social networks. We had a Facebook page and a Google community and Twitter, and there were people that just didn't want to do that. So we started a Patreon purely to get enough monthly income to run a discourse server, which has quite beefy requirements. And certainly 5 years ago, that was, you know, a bit more expensive to host. And I think we needed like $150 a month or something to do this. Anyway, we breezed past that fairly quickly. And, you know, the Ubuntu community really lives still on that discourse server at ubuntumate.community.
So did the community grow since that time, or is it just staying steady? Or
so the community of users has definitely grown. I'm privileged that I have sight of some, you know, metrics through work, and I'm able to sort of gauge how popular Ubuntu Mate is. And whilst it's still a fraction of a rounding error in terms of active users compared to Ubuntu, it's among the more popular desktop Linux distributions, which is pleasing and quite surprising. So in terms of users, very healthy. I think this happens with a lot of projects. When they get to a point of maturity, two things happen. The hype dies down. People are looking for the next new hot thing. And they want to, you know, the distro hoppers want to go and gravitate to that and get all excited about that. But then also, as your project matures and it stabilizes and you've worked out your features, there's not as many exciting changes. So you tend to find that people are just comfortable using it and they don't feel the same urgency in sort of working on it and fixing it. So there's a group of about a dozen people who still regularly contribute to Ubuntu Mate in some meaningful way, either through development or packaging or QA or you know, moderating the forums and things like that. So there's about a dozen people that are, you know, active within, you know, actually maintaining the project.
You said that the project is really popular. Did you expect Ubuntu Mate to become such a popular distro?
No. I mean, I didn't know what to expect in the early days. I can remember when the Google Plus group hit 300 users and I was absolutely over the moon. Google Plus is just about to shut down, and I think we're just about to breach, well, we would have breached 9,000 members.
Wow.
On that group. And then the community itself has got thousands of users in it as well. And you know, we have a very healthy number of users, and I was surprised by that. And until recently, I wasn't able to know exactly how many people were running Ubuntu Mate actively. So I had to guess in the past, you know, based on download statistics, which turns out are wildly inaccurate. That there are way more people downloading these ISO images that are actually installing it and sticking with it. The drop off rate is astonishingly high. So back in the day, I thought there were way more people using it, and I used to think about visualizing the people using Ubuntu Mate in like numbers of stadiums, you know, football stadiums of people. And when you think about it in that regard, it's pleasing and scary in equal measure when you think, you know, there are tens and hundreds of thousands of people, you know, using this thing that you've made in your spare time, principally to, you know, keep your family running Linux.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's probably also a great feeling to know that what you're doing is actually good and useful. So
yeah,
right. Let's talk about the Raspberry Pi version. Actually, how many platforms do you support with Ubuntu Mate? Except, there's the PC, the Raspberry Pi. Is there any?
So technically on 1604, we also support PowerPC, but that is now a deprecated architecture within the Ubuntu project. So, and 1604 for Ubuntu Mate is only going to be supported for another month. So at one point, we did support both Intel architectures, the Raspberry Pi and PowerPC. Now, if you download 1810, it's just AMD 64 images. We're working on new images for the Raspberry Pi right now. And then we've done a couple of side projects with GPD. So we've got bespoke images for a couple of their devices, and we've got quite a good relationship with them now. And I see that continuing on into the future.
Cool. So Ubuntu Mate is spreading to different platforms.
When we completed the 1804 image, I did say that, you know, I was most interested in trying to bring Ubuntu Mate to other devices. So we're refreshing for the Raspberry Pi. We've got done two GPD images for the GPD Pocket and the GPD Pocket 2. I'm currently working on the micro PC from them, but that's going to be a longer burn. There's some kernel work that needs doing there. And thankfully, Hans de Goede from Red Hat's actually assisting with that, which is really good because he's a very talented developer. And then there's some other GPD devices. And I've recently been in touch with the guys at Pinebook to work on the Pinebook and the Pinebook Pro, is it? The Pinebook 64, I forget what the branding is, but the two laptop style devices that they have.
Yeah, so lots of work ahead of you.
Yeah.
You're not going to get bored.
No.
How difficult is it to build Ubuntu Mate for the Raspberry Pi? I mean, not necessarily the technical build, but the finding bugs and fixing bugs, because I mean on a big PC you've got a fast machine, lots of tools that you can use to do the development, but on Raspberry mm-hmm. Pi it's a slower machine. You don't necessarily have lots of space on the SD card, and it's a bit fragile. So how difficult is it?
So the first thing I do is I use my main Intel workstation to do all of the development work. So I use containers, systemd nspawn containers that I bootstrap an ARM operating system inside, and then use QEMU user static to do the processor emulation inside those containers. So on my Intel box, which has got gobs of RAM and very fast CPUs and very fast disks, I'm able to create those images and test them. And so I can build those images relatively quickly. I think at the moment it probably takes half an hour to start from nothing and actually stand up the entire container, build Ubuntu Mate inside it with all of my tweaks and configurations, and create an image that I can then flash on an SD card or a USB stick, and then go and test in an actual Raspberry Pi. So that development workflow is quite fast. Where it takes more time, you know, the basic operating system and Ubuntu Mate and the Mate desktop, that's all in the archive. That all works just fine. I have no additional work to do there. I get those architectures for free because of the, you know, the architecture support that exists within Ubuntu. The time that it takes is supporting the hardware specific features of the Raspberry Pi. For example, the way that their Bluetooth is enabled, the way that the video core chip works, and the way that hardware accelerated video playback works. All of those things, those take way longer to get right, as does things like tweaking the memory, tuning the memory performance so that, you know, in 1 gig of RAM, you can get a reasonably usable, you know, desktop experience.
Do you use the Ubuntu build infrastructure to rebuild the whole thing?
Not at the moment, no. So what I do at the moment is I've created my own scripts which build the images for Ubuntu Mate for the Raspberry Pi. So although I'm now able to use a lot of the work that my colleagues have done in the Foundations team with the improvements that they've done for supporting the Pi on Ubuntu generally, I'm not using Live Build. I've got my own build environment, and I will be transitioning everything over to Live Build in the future, probably for the 2004 release. But at the moment, I have my own environment that builds the images. So you can think of the Ubuntu Mate images for the Raspberry Pi as community supported. They're not like official Ubuntu products.
Okay. Who is your target audience for Ubuntu Mate and the Raspberry Pi?
Right. Okay. Well, when I made the images for 1604, I was trying to compete with Raspbian at the time. And I think at the back of my mind, I was trying to do a better job than Raspbian was doing to bring something to, you know, the desktop on the Pi. Now, since then, Raspbian has improved considerably, and it's actually really decent. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people would just stick with it. So this time around for 1804, I'm not trying to compete with Raspbian at all. I'm really delivering the same Ubuntu Mate experience you get on the PC, on the Raspberry Pi, with the appropriate accelerations and exploitation of the hardware that we can deliver. So things like VLC is fully hardware accelerated, and FFmpeg is fully hardware accelerated. And there is some frame buffer improvement for, you know, the graphics stack, and you've got the experimental video core frame buffer as well. But really, it's for people that just want to, you know, run an Ubuntu desktop on the Raspberry Pi. It's a way to do that, because you're going to struggle to run things like proper Ubuntu with the GNOME desktop. And also, if you're a developer and you've got projects that you're working on for multiple architectures, and you want a way to test your application on, 32-bit ARM and 64-bit ARM, with Ubuntu Mate 1804 for the Raspberry Pi, we're going to have images for 32-bit and 64-bit. So it's a ubiquitous platform. It's a way for developers and tinkerers to actually test their projects on both architectures in a comfortable and familiar desktop environment that is optimized for the Raspberry Pi.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, I mean, it could be used as a first computer, for example, for children or kids, because it's basically a $30 computer with the same desktop as the parents may have on their computer.
Yeah, I mean, you can do some basic desktop type, you know, functions with Ubuntu Mate on the Raspberry Pi, particularly if you use the 32-bit ARM version. But software is not magic. And I've had a lot of people asking me, what's the performance like of Ubuntu Mate 18.04 on the Raspberry Pi? And it's, well, it's just like using a Raspberry Pi. You know, software is not going to magically change the characteristics and constraints of the Raspberry Pi platform. So if you think the Raspberry Pi is slow, it will be as slow when you run Ubuntu Mate for the Raspberry Pi. You know, we can't magic that away. But we do what we can to exploit, you know, the facilities that exist on the Pi. And the other thing to note is, don't cheap out on SD cards for the Raspberry Pi. Even for like £6, you can get a really fast 32 gig SD card, which will immeasurably improve the experience of using a Raspberry Pi over a cheap no brand card. So make sure you get, you know, proper tier one vendor class 10 SDHC cards, and it can improve a load. But you can, you know, open a browser, you can browse some websites, it will be a bit slow. Video playback in VLC is great. You can, you know, write code, you can compile code, you can test applications, you can, you know, do all of that stuff.
How are YouTube and Netflix running? Did you try that?
So I've got no browser accelerations at the moment. So when these images do come out, at the moment, the browser will be unaccelerated. And that's a project I'm going to have as a continuation after this, because building a new version of Chrome with hardware acceleration is a longer way out. So at the moment, you don't get any acceleration in the browsers. You do for video and stuff.
Okay, you mentioned that the tinkerers and developers could use Ubuntu Mate on the Raspberry Pi. How compatible is that with existing hardware? I mean, when you buy something, you usually have a driver, and they tell you install Raspbian, and then, you know, run that, and it will work. Will that work also on Ubuntu Mate, or does the vendor have to write a specific driver or something like that?
No, it should work just fine. So we're pointing at the Pi Wheels project that's run by Ben Nuttall and Dave Jones. Ben works for Raspberry Pi Foundation, and Dave actually works for Canonical now. So you can pip install, you know, all of your bits and pieces, and you will get the same versions of those things on Ubuntu Mate. And I've recently heard from a couple of organizations who are serious roboticists who've used Ubuntu Mate 16.04 on the Raspberry Pi to power a number of their robotics projects. And I learned that they have been champing at the bit for 18.04 versions. I didn't realize that they'd actually been pestering one of my colleagues asking where, you know, could they do anything to make this happen faster? So I know there are people out there actually want to use it for some serious use. You know, they like a familiar desktop environment where they can get stuff done and be productive, but it's minimal enough that, you know, it preserves enough memory that they can run their own stuff on top.
All right. Without spoiling too much of the next interview I will have with Alan next week, how does Ubuntu Mate on the Raspberry Pi support Snap?
Just like you do on the desktop. You as long as the Snap you want to install has a build for ARMHF or ARM64, then you can install those snaps and run them. And that's one of the things that I was really interested in, you know, getting working. And in fact, things like the Software Boutique and Ubuntu Mate Welcome are snaps. And on those new Raspberry Pi images, they are snaps.
Awesome. Snaps are really great. But I'll keep that for my next interview.
Okay.
Let's go quickly above non-technical stuff. Mm-hmm. How does the project live? Is there a foundation or some other entity to manage donations and legal stuff?
Yes, there is. There's a friend of mine that runs a number of charities and a couple of CICs, umbrellas. So that's a community interest. Oh, goodness, what's it? Community interest, something or other, corporation. And Ubuntu Mate is umbrellaed underneath that. So all of the donations and what have you, although we're not allowed to call them donations anymore, all of the crowdfunding for Ubuntu Mate goes into that CIC. And then from there, we farm that out to developers working on the Mate desktop and Ubuntu Mate projects and things like domain name registrations and stuff like that. We're fortunate that for a couple of years, Bytemark have sponsored all of our hosting. So things like the Raspberry Pi images, which are about a 1 gig download, they now provide the servers and the bandwidth for, which we used to have to cover ourselves, and that was a massive outlay. So Bytemark have been really good friends to the Ubuntu Mate project and the Mate desktop project as well, because they now host all of the Mate desktop infrastructure as well. So that means that all of the money that comes into the project, we're now able to use for bounties, not bounties like Bounty Source. We've experimented with that to some success, but really identifying meaty projects that we need doing and pairing that up with a capable developer who could deliver that, and then paying them something close to market rate in order to actually develop that feature. And that was one of the ways we've created some momentum within the project. And we've also been able to keep people interested in the project in that way by, you know, rewarding their effort with, you know, a thank you each month.
That's awesome. So to be able to give back to the people who contributed, I think that's yeah, really awesome. Is Ubuntu Mate a trademark, or is it just a name that?
It's just a name. So when I was starting, I got lots of people like, why is it not called Mubuntu? which is what I thought it would be as well. But actually, all of the asterisk Ubuntu names are protected now. So the correct naming scheme is, whilst you're bootstrapping your new flavor, you are Ubuntu Thing Remix. So we were the Ubuntu Mate Remix. And then when you are officially recognized and you're all integrated into the project, then you are Ubuntu Thing, so Ubuntu Mate. That's why there was Ubuntu GNOME prior to Ubuntu Mate. And following us more recently, there was Ubuntu Budgie, of course.
Of course. Okay. How do you manage the bus factor on the team? If you suddenly decide that you had enough and you want to go somewhere on an island and forget about that, how would the project go on?
That's a great question. And the honest answer is not as well as I should have done. And in fact, since November last year, I've assembled a group of people, some within the Ubuntu Mate project and some outside, to create what we've initially called the Ubuntu Mate Guardians. And I'm slowly changing the way the infrastructure is configured and the way the accounts are set up, so that everyone in that group could, if I was to get knocked down by a bus, control the infrastructure and the domain names and the CD, you know, basically all of that they would have access to. So there's still some work to be done there, but there was a couple of projects that sort of failed or faltered last year in 2018, and that really made me think that this was something we needed to sort out. We're not there yet, but we are working on it.
Well, we hope that you won't be over by your bus, but it's always reassuring to know that a project can keep going.
Yes.
Okay. So, talking about going on further, what's the future for Ubuntu Mate, both in terms of supported architecture, you talked about that earlier, and in terms of new functionalities?
In terms of new functionality, Mate 1.22 was released 2 days ago, and that's the first release that has some Wayland capability. So some of the more complex components, so the panel, for example, are now Wayland capable. And so that's our first steps towards, you know, embracing the new display server future. And I have some thanks for a couple of people at work, William Wald in particular, on the MIA team, who did the lion's share of that work. So it's now on us to get that over the line. So that will be one sort of thing for the future. A couple of projects that I'm interested in working on myself are Mate capabilities to manage Thunderbolt devices through a GUI and update firmware of devices through a UI, because we don't have that yet. And those are, you know, things that we're finding on modern PC hardware now for Linux. And then I touched on it earlier, I would like to bring Ubuntu Mate to more devices. You know, we've got some interesting ARM devices that are coming through now that are low cost and have got some interest within the community. I'd like to see Ubuntu Mate there. And one of the things that Ubuntu Mate has always been great at, and a partnership, if you will, that we've had, is with the X2Go community. The guy I met in Germany, the Ubuntu, the Debian developer that looks after Mate, he is the lead developer for X2Go, which is a remote terminal solution.
Really great one.
Yeah, and we've been involved there for several years, and Mate is a preferred platform for that. And within the Mate packages in Debian and Ubuntu, we're carrying out-of-tree patches to enable libRDA. So this is within the desktop environment. It knows that it's running over a remote session, and it automatically tunes itself and presents some new features in the UI that are, because of the fact that you're over a remote connection. So that is something I want to focus on and develop further, because I think that the idea of remote workstations in the cloud, it is gaining in popularity. Mate is already used by Amazon Workspaces, but that's on top of Amazon Linux. And it's a bit devoid of like decent application support. So I'd like to focus on that and present some options there for Mate workstations in the cloud.
So more work for you then.
I think Mike Gabriel will probably be doing the lion's share of that work from X2Go, but okay. I definitely want to help with that.
Okay. When are the next releases planned for Ubuntu Mate, both on PC and other platforms?
Well, 19.04 will be out on April the 18th, I think it is, somewhere around then. So that will be the 19.04 release. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to be able to ship the new Mate 1.22 release at that time. There's some underlying technologies within Mate that have changed, which will mean that some of the plugins and extensions that we use won't work, and we need to have some time to go to those third parties and help them uplift their code to support the new APIs. So that's why we won't be revving to 1.22 this cycle, but I imagine that will happen for 19.10 for sure. And then it'll be these little hardware enablement projects, so the likes of GPD and the Pinebook, some more stuff on the Raspberry Pi, and if anyone else is interested in helping out on enabling Ubuntu Mate on some interesting device, get in touch.
Yes, and how can people contribute to Ubuntu Mate? Is there
Well, the best place to come to is Ubuntu. This is why the name is ridiculous, because it's ubuntu-mate.org is the website, and ubuntu-mate.community for the community site. So if there's a project you're interested in, we have a development section within the forum. I'll post there, and that's the way to bring your ideas forward.
And is that on a necessary code, or do you need contribution in other things like graphics or translations?
Most of the translations happen through the Mate desktop project. So matedesktop.org is where you can find all the information about where that code is hosted. So Mate desktop is all in GitHub. Ubuntu Mate is all in GitHub. All of our translations for both projects are in TransFX. You can find the links for all of that on the Ubuntu Mate site if you want to get involved in translations. All of the projects are on GitHub under the Ubuntu Mate organization. So, you know, issues and pull requests are welcome there. Yeah, and if you are keen on designing wallpapers, we have a section for that in the Ubuntu Mate forum, and you can just create your things. I think we have a minimum resolution that we'll accept, and we have a waiver that you license it under a Creative Commons license, and provided you do those two things, you stand a chance of getting your wallpapers in the next version of the distro.
Cool. So we don't have any excuse to not to contribute now with everything. No. Well, I think we've covered everything I wanted to cover. Is there anything you want to add?
No, it's been delightful. Thank you very much for inviting me on. I've enjoyed our chat.
Thanks to you for joining me. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. I guess I will see you at OCamp in October 19th and 20th in Manchester.
Yes, I imagine we will. If you're coming again, then I will certainly be there.
I will. I will not miss that.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm Yannick de Franchi from Switzerland, and I was with Martin Wimpress tonight. I will probably come back on another episode with some more interviews. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. Ciao, ciao. This episode of HPR is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial by attribution license. The sound used in the opening and closing sequence is Speaker X Clash by Daniel H., released under a Creative Commons non-commercial by attribution license and available on Jamendo.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.